Give me a little bit longer because I want to talk a little baseball with Dom DiMaggio here. Speaking of 1941, as we just were about Lou Boudreau, you say in your book, Real Grass and Real Heroes, that from that point on, that's really when baseball changed. Why do you say that?
Well, yes, Ron. In my book, I did state that 1941 would be the last year that baseball would be played in the same manner that it had been played since the turn of the century. And it has turned out to be absolutely true. The war was just starting. Some of the greatest players that played baseball immediately went into the service. Hank Greenberg, one, Bobby Feller, two. Then others followed. And as the major league players went into the service, then we had the fill-ins coming in from the minors, and the president at the time suggested that baseball continue for the benefit of the people who are working on the defense program for the benefit of the country. Then, when we all came back from serving in the various services, we had originally traveled by train. Suddenly, we were traveling by air. Shortly afterward, night baseball. Shortly afterward, hotels with air conditioning, which we never had before. Trains, planes with air conditioning. Things changed, and they kept on changing. We had expansion of baseball going east of Chicago and St. Louis, even out to the West Coast. And they've been going on ever since.
How did 1947 and the breaking of the color barrier with Jackie Robinson and other, Larry Doby and the American League, others like that, how did that change the game?
Well, it opened up the game to many more players. And for a while, it made competition even better than it had been. Not that there wasn't a lot of competition amongst the major league players before, because there was always somebody looking over your shoulder, ready to take your place if you faltered at any time. But the black player came into the game, and it increased the amount of good players that were available coming up through the minor leagues. And of course, it caused expansion. And then as we expanded to the point where we are today, I believe at this point it has been watered down some. Not only has it been watered down because of expansion, but because basketball and football have, and even golf, especially golf, has taken a lot of good young athletes who, before golf became popular, would turn to baseball or basketball or football. And golf takes an awful lot of good athletes away from baseball.
Baseball players were always very comfortable with their status. I think they liked being heroes to the kids, and I'm not sure that today that same can be said. Tell me a little bit about how the fans and the and kids particularly interacted with the players and how you feel today's ball players feel about their status.
There is a change there. Again, going back to our day, there wasn't such a great demand for people to make personal appearances. We did our share for the community. Today, it appears that there's a great demand, and it bothers me to think that where we were happy to sign things at no charge way back in the 40s and the 50s, today, I think a player thinks very, very hard before he signs anything. They have card shows, and everything has become so commercialized that it has taken away from the real, true interest of baseball as we knew it. At least that's the way our players feel about it.
One of the things I find interesting, I don't know whether the fans around the country are aware of this, everybody knows what your brother Joe did as far as a hitting streak, but you had a couple of lengthy ones, one in particular, a 34-game hitting streak. Talk a little bit about that.
With the Boston Red Sox, yes, it still holds, incidentally, 34 with the Boston Red Sox, and I'm surprised at that. Maybe I shouldn't be because, you know, the left field fence is rather short. When I went up from San Francisco, my manager, Frank Lefty O'Doul, made me into a pull hitter, which caused me to hit to left field. But not being a long ball hitter and not being a long fly ball hitter, I decided that my line drives that I was hitting to left field at Fenway Park were right where the left fielder would be playing. So I had to change and hit the ball to the opposite field.
Those fans in New England, talk a little bit about Red Sox and New England baseball fans.
The fans in New England are absolutely wonderful fans. They're very, very knowledgeable about their baseball. They love it, and I'm talking about the entire New England area. They travel from Maine into Boston, from all over New England. They just love it so much. They have been accustomed now. It becomes more like a joke saying that, well, they'll win now and win, but we don't expect that they'll be in the World Series or even win the World Series. But now I think the interest has really been exceptional. This year, even though most of baseball and most of the people have been a little bit annoyed, a great deal annoyed, at the happenings of last year, the strike and one thing or another. But the people of New England, there were so many people who would go to ball games, and it's such a ballpark, a maximum is something like 34,000 people, they didn't have a problem. So they have had a fabulous year in attendance and a great year as far as an interesting team is concerned. The whole thing is working out beautifully.
Did they ever get on you? Because they've been known to get on players. I mean, they know the game so very well. Did they ever get on you when you were there?
I don't remember that. No, I don't I don't think they ever did, Ron. Uh-huh. No, I don't think so.
Boy, they could really get on the visiting team, though, didn't they? Could
well, they love their own team. If a player is hustling and putting out 110%, they will overlook a good many things that come up. But if they just lay back, if they don't run out ground balls or fly balls, then they will turn on them.
Mm-hmm. Is the ghost of Ted Williams still alive there? And what I mean by that is that everybody that's ever played that position in left field has been compared to him. I know Yastrzemski, when he was on the show with me, Carl said that, you know, it took him a long time to have to deal with that. Mike Greenwell was another one that certainly has had that type of problem. Does it still
Williams,
exist?
Williams is still Ted Williams. He's mm-hmm. the kid, and they love him in New England. They always have. I heard just a few days ago, I was listening to a game, and the fellow doing the game said Greenwell played balls off the left field fence better than anybody had ever seen. I would have to question that. I thought Ted Williams did a fabulous, fabulous job in playing balls off that short left field fence. And, you know, they really didn't consider Ted an outstanding outfielder, but I never saw anybody take balls off that left field fence the way he did. Carl was an excellent left field player, a guy who did the same thing, but I think Teddy was the best.
What was the essence of his success as a hitter? Was it his vision?
Ted's?
Yes.
Oh, he worked at it. Yeah, well, that was a part of it. But Ted not only had great vision, but he worked real hard at playing the game. He worked real hard at knowing his opposition, his pitchers, and not on our team, but his opposing pitchers. He would question them all the time. And at times, I would become annoyed because I was the leadoff hitter and he was the third hitter. And I would be coming into the dugout when he would be leaving and he would say, what is he throwing down? And if I was annoyed that I had a pitch that I should have hit and didn't, every once in a while, I'd cut him short, and he says, "Ah," he says, "You don't know what you're being thrown." That was a lot of fun.
You and I were talking before the show. I said to you, "Why don't most pitchers throw the knuckleball?" But you brought up a very interesting point about the Senators. I never realized. Would you share it with everybody?
Yes. One year, we played against the Washington Senators when they had four starting pitchers, all knuckleball pitchers. By name, they were Dutch Leonard, Mickey Hafner, Al Niggling, and Roger Wolf. I'm glad I remembered all four of them, and they were tough knuckleball pitchers.
Could you ever get used to the pitch after seeing those four pitchers on a four-game series?
No, not really, never. But I'll say this, if you did hit a knuckleball, it would go a long distance, and it still happens today, of course.
Why don't more people throw it today?
Well, I suppose years ago, the slider came into being, and they've come up with various other pitches, like the forkball, that caused them not to use the knuckleball. But I venture to say you're going to see a lot more knuckleball pitchers in the future.
Mm-hmm. Let's open up the lines around America and let you jump into this very special conversation with Dom DiMaggio at 1-800-878-7529 if you're driving around the country in your car or truck tonight. And indeed, we'll get you on a little bit early. 1-800-878-PLAY.